tuned in online, welcome. Thank God for you. Make sure that you take notes along with us today. Hey, I heard a funny story about Porfulio. He was out, you know, at a comedy nightclub, and he was enjoying the comedy routines going up. And finally, this one guy came up, and he was kind of the funniest, but he was a ventriloquist. And he had that dummy, you know, on his thing, but that it started to kind of take a turn for Porfulio. He started to get really angry because that ventriloquist started telling like 20 Mexican jokes. Right after, and the ventriloquist is Mexican too, so he's making fun of his own people. But he, and finally, Porfulio had enough. He said, "Look," and he stood up in the nightclub. He says, "I'm fed up about you insulting our people. It's because of you, people like you, that we don't ever get ahead as a people. The Mexican people have been brought down low enough, and here you go railing on them again. I won't have it ever again." The ventriloquist, up on stage, he said, "Calm down, sir. It's just a joke. Lighten up, man. It's a comedy club. Can't you see we're having just a little bit of fun?" And Porfulio said, "You shut up. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that little dummy on your knee." One guy had to come back from the first service to the second so he could get that, because he didn't get that. And we're in our fourth part of our concluding series, Acceptable Sin. And you might say, what's acceptable sin? In today's world, there's very obvious sins. The Ten Commandments laid them out. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, you know, murder is a pretty big one, right? And so that would be obvious. And there's stealing. That's an obvious one. No false gods, the very first one. And so there's some ones that are pretty big out there. But the ones that are acceptable, sometimes that are necessary, or we think that they're necessary, respectable, we think, well, those are just kind of part of me. And so I can justify those, and some people might say they're even more acceptable. I can keep those going. So we looked at lying in week one, and lying, realized just because it's common doesn't mean it's right, because God detests a lying person. He says that in the Bible. In gossip, we realize that if it's true, it necessarily doesn't need to be said all the time. Do you understand that? Just because it's true. Well, it's true, I'm not gossiping. Well, it doesn't need to be said if it's true all the time in the wrong spirit. And we found out last week about lust, a different perspective on lust, that because we're wounded, that we can be healed today. And God can take something that was meant for our blessing, and the enemy came and distorted it and injured us with something, that he can heal us from that today. Again, they're found on our website. If you go back and you can look at those, livingfaithsa.org, if you haven't been here today. And again, we're going into anger now and looking at that. We can easily justify it by saying sometimes, hey, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have lost my cool. I wouldn't have done that. If that person next door wouldn't have had that happen, I wouldn't have lost my cool on that neighbor or whatever. And so I'm already kind of hot-headed. It's just the way I am. And we justify things. And at some point, we have to look at the Bible about what it says about anger. And the Bible speaks about anger, how it really says, it advises us not to sin when we anger. So there's a right kind of anger and a wrong kind of anger. I want you to discover that with me. Maybe you didn't know that, but that's biblical today. So what can we do with anger when it comes upon us? How do we make it flow the right way when it's righteous anger? What can we channel it towards? What are the consequences if we keep it going in our lives and in our relationships? And most importantly, how can we overcome sinful anger today? Our prayer has been Psalms 139 for 4 weeks now. And we've asked God today to make this a desperation prayer, not like a prayer like, oh God, you know, here we go again. We're going to eat the leftovers, you know, thank God, rub-a-dub-dub. Our Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. We've all prayed prayers like that. But on the big screen, look at Psalms 139, because it's not in your handout, and say it out loud, not out soft. Here we go. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting. So be it, Lord. Amen and amen. So be the truth of God's word. That's what I want in my life. How about you, right? Amen. Yeah. Paul points out, and he begins to speak about anger because he was a man that was prone towards it before he found Christ, and probably still as a Christian, because he admits some faults even as a Christian, the greatest Christian that ever lived. And he writes his precious church in Ephesians, the Ephesians letter in Ephesus, and he says to them, he said, in your anger, are y'all there with me in your handout? He said, in your anger, so you're going to get angry. No one's arrived. No one's perfect, right, everybody? But he says something interesting, like do not sin. You're going to get angry, but how do you do that? Because the way I shout, it sure does get ugly. The way I think, I know that ain't right. And so how do I not? He said, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil even a pinky toe hold. Right, everybody? Those are the worst, right? When they grab a hold of that twisted pinky. Amen. Come on. No, pinky toe, it hurts, right? Let go of that. It's interesting about that Greek word, and I found out for the extra note takers at Living Faith Church, just one more note, and the extra note takers at Living Faith Church, they really, really love Jesus, and so they take extra notes. And so if you're not taking notes, it means that you don't love Jesus in this place. So show me the extra notes, amen? That's why you should have a ready writer, have a pen with you. Show me the extra notes on three. There we go. Topaz is a restaurant. No, topaz is a Greek word that speaks of the foothold. And it literally means a place, a room, a portion, a space. This is my place that I get angry. This is the way. This is, in other words, what you're doing is giving the devil your guest room. Right. Come on in, devil. Take my lazy boy. Take the remote control. Come on in. You have a plate. We're going to fluff up the pillows for you. You're going to go ahead and sleep in the guest room today. And you give the devil a place because of the anger. You might say, well, that person looking at them, they hardly ever get angry. I wish I was as peaceful as them. Well, let's check it out if they really do get angry and if they've given the devil a guest room. For some of us people that are outlandish and out vocal on our anger and how we have it. There's an interesting thing about the first two brothers in the Bible. When they got kicked out of the garden, no more free rent for them, right, anybody? God dealt with them because of the sin. And he puts them out of the garden. The very first question after he asked, where is Adam, where are you? Out of the garden. He asked the next question out of the garden. And the first question was, why are you so angry, Cain? Brother, why are you so angry? Why are you angry? And I think he keeps asking us that every heart in this room. Why are you angry? Why are you angry, bro? Why are you angry, sis? Why are you angry? And you might say, well, I'm angry because they made me mad. I'm angry because they upset me. I'm angry because, I'm married and that she made me mad or he made me mad and they knew better. And God is still asking, why are you angry? Why are you angry? And Cain and Abel, of course, Cain brought the sacrifice that was leftovers, second best. And Abel brought the first fruits. He brought the very best to God. Amen. And when Cain didn't get the approval from God because he brought leftovers, he got angry. And he looked towards his brother that brought the best, and he took out his vengeance, and the first murder took place. So in Genesis 4:6 on the big screen, or in your handout, it says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will be accepted. Look at the choice there, right, everybody? Right. You have a choice today. You can keep it going. You can keep it stirred up. You can get it built into rage. But if you do not do what is right, what does it say? Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it. I got that foothold. I'm going to get the guest room. I'm going to come on in if you give me the place. But you have the choice today, Cain. You have the choice today, my brother. You have the choice today, child of God, the Christian in this room, to give the devil the place. And we don't want to give the devil not even a pinky toe hold, right, everybody? Amen. Why is it that on Monday morning when someone maybe ran me off the road or didn't let me in when I wanted to get in to that lane that I gave them the one-handed peace sign? No, I didn't do that as your pastor, but no, I didn't even think it. Well, maybe, no, let me move on before I get in trouble and I get to preach today. Yeah. Why is it that at noontime I'm still thinking about that? Total stranger messed up my day in the morning. But see, that's why we need to let it go. Because life is too short on this side to keep thinking about people that may have done you wrong even in the morning. Even 20 years ago. Even 5 days ago. Do you know that you can't smell yourself sometimes? in the natural. The other day, you know, I was working real hard in the yard and doing stuff, and, you know, then I'd gone out to do a little bit of physical exercise, and, you know, I just kind of forgot, you know, about, you know, personal hygiene. But it was just me. I wasn't going to go to church, and I was just hanging out. But Irma got home, and, you know, she took a whiff. She said, "Man, you smell like a chivo." That's a goat. For you guys that don't know the heavenly language. Sometimes you can't smell your own stink.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, and you can't. And I think it's natural that way spiritually. Because there are people that you're either one of the two, and usually God makes them this way for reasons of his gift, not for his curse, for the gift that you'll be. You're either a turtle or you're a skunk in your disposition on how you get angry and what you do with anger. See, a skunk will go into the room and mess up everybody. And then everybody stinks in the room, and they walk out like nothing happened, right? Because they let. And a turtle will go in, and they just let it build up and build up. So let's go ahead and play a game here. Let's be honest in church. You know, we want to just be. These are destructive ways, really, but let's be honest. If your idea of romance is a quiet evening at home, your favorite words is, sure, and later. You know, and if you like the remote control, you like to surf the internet, and you wait for your spouse to answer the phone, you like peace, you hate conflict, to avoid emotional issues, then if that's you, would you lift your hand? Be honest in the house of God. Yeah. Okay, the rest of y'all are going to be, okay, go. Those. That means you're a turtle, and that's okay. Yeah, welcome to the club. How about this? You like to confront issues head on. You give advice, and you want to be that problem solver. You're already raising your hands, and I ain't told you. I've already solved that problem. Yeah, your favorite words are but, why, you always. And you have to silence. You hate silence, and you love to hang around people, and you love defending your point of view. Shall I go on? Can I see the rest of the hands yet? You might be a skunk. Amen.
Well.
Both of them, but the hope is that you're honest in the house of the Lord. Both of them are destructive ways on how you handle anger. And isn't it funny? You're probably married, vice versa. One of you is this and one of you is that. Like in our home too. And we have children too. They have that spiritual gift of being one's a skunk and one's a turtle also. And they got a little bit of both of us in them. So that's good today. I want to look at this thought about the destructive ways of being a turtle or a skunk. And the first thought is this. You express, the fool expresses their anger. And that's a skunk, you know. Proverbs, Solomon 29:11 says this in New Living Translation. Fools vent their anger, right? But the wise quietly hold back. In other words, the fool wide open sprays. Everybody stinks. But the righteous, hey, they restrain. And it's right. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered person does what?
Foolish things.
Yeah, you feel better, but you leave this stinky mess behind and funk behind, and everyone else is funky now because you walked into the room afterwards, right? How about let's look at the turtle. The fool suppresses, just push it down, bottle it up. It's going to get shaken up. But they suppress their anger. King David wrote in Psalms 32:3. Let's read it together on three. Come on, you hadn't had any fun all day on three. One, two, three, go. When I kept silent, my bone wasted away through groaning all day long. I pushed down my emotions, and that's why nothing happened, and everything was cool, and everything got controlled. But in your head, you had a fight. In your head, you had conflict. And in your head, when they walked in, you were ready for them. And you had this sort of posture when they walked in because they made you angry. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy that walks in, the husband walks in, what did I do? Yeah, and you fought with them already all day long in your head. And you were groaning. And you know what? That shows it hurts you. You know who you are? Because you suppressed it. And sooner or later, it will come out, and it won't be pretty either way, right? It's going to stink either way, a turtle or skunk today. There's a beautiful story about a turtle in the Bible that he was probably the best story that Jesus ever told, the most powerful story of grace and redemption that Jesus told. And in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a series of stories about just redemption or things that are lost. And he climaxes this story time by saying the prodigal son, this one son that was younger, wanted his inheritance early, and he told Papa, he said, "Give me my inheritance now," which was a total insult to the Jewish culture. It was like almost saying, "Daddy, I wish you were dead, but since you're not dead, can you go ahead and give me all the money that you owe me anyway that I'm going to get early, and I'll get some and walk out of your life." And so he does, and you know the story. It goes on that the guy had riotous living and just hooked up with everybody. He ran out of money. All of his friends left him. He didn't have any more friends. He ends up in a pig slop, eating pig pods, whatever those are. And Jewish people didn't eat pork, and they stayed away from the filthy animal. Thank God the bacon has been redeemed now in our era, right? Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and pork tamales are good. Thank you, Jesus, for pork tamales. Anyway, let me get off that. And so he says, I'll rise up and I'll go back to my dad's house. At least I can be a servant at my dad's house. And he starts marching, and the father's looking at him from far away, and he sees him, Dollar General, and he says, and daddy begins to run, which was uncustomary, and Jewish men didn't run. It was undignified for a man to run. And he meets his son, tackles him, hugs, kisses him, and says, "Son, I've missed you. Daddy, I don't deserve." He said, no, don't even. You don't. Let me put a ring on your finger. You have all authority. Let me put that robe on you. Oh, you might not my son. He's going to have shoes." And he put shoes on his feet and walked him. And he said, "Kill that cabrito. Kill that goat. We're going to have cabrito tonight. We're going to eat good. We're going to celebrate. We're going to get down. It's going to be like 1999. We're going to party that way. And we're going to get down, man. And we're going to have a great party because my son is home." Isn't that a great story of God's grace?
Amen.
Well, what we don't talk about is this older brother that got his share but kind of stayed home and hung out and did all the stuff he was supposed to do. It didn't get that party. And when the party's going on, he hears about it and he's off and he goes off and he doesn't want to go to the party of redemption of someone coming home, because he's obeyed everything. And in Luke chapter 15, 28, it says this: the older brother became what?
Angry.
And refused.
Going.
He pushed it down, he suppressed it, and he controlled it. And that's not the purpose of God's child today, to say, "I'm going to push it down, I'm going to control it." Anger should never be pushed down that way. "Well, I'm going to let it out then." No, it's supposed to be something else besides that. See, you're never made in the image of keeping something or spewing it out in rage. You're meant more to live for than that in God's hand and God's providence in your life today. Lisa Turnquist, in this book called Uninvited, she wrote this quote, and it's extra notes again. "Bitterness, resentment, anger have no place in the heart as beautiful as yours today." And that's what God, listen to me, that's what God would tell his children in this room today. You don't have any room for bitterness. You don't have any room for resentment or anger, because your heart is beautiful. You're beautiful. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're made in my image. And when you behave like me, you express worship to me. You behave just like your Father in heaven today. Right, everybody? It's incredible the pictures that we have in God's word about things that are destroyed, things that are filled with rage and hurt and brokenness. They're called beautiful because ashes are made into something beautiful now. And things that are in the midnight hour, when there's crier, when there's hurt and pain, the Bible turns that around and flips that around to his child and say, there's joy now. There's dancing now. When it was hurt and pain, when you couldn't dance, now that joy is turned into dance now, where the morning was now, the day is coming now that I flipped it around for you. And God can only do that in his hand today. Right, everybody? What do you do with anger? 15 times in the Bible it speaks about anger in this metaphor about anger and fire. And it says anger is like a fire. The paradox of it is, if you live in a cold climate like maybe Alaska, thank God for fire. It warms you, right, everybody? It can boil the water. It can keep you the way you need to be kept. It warms your soul if you drink a hot cup of tea. Fire is good to warm you up. But the paradox of that might be this. Fire can also burn down a house and burn down everything within the house and bring real destruction. So if anger is right in the sense of it warming us and if giving us something, anger can also be wrong. I want to look at both with you today. Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church? Because there's a right way, a passionate way to be angry, but there's also a sinful way to be angry. And I think we all know the sinful. Let's go ahead and do the one that we probably already know about and we do a lot of because we're people and we're not perfect today. Number one, sinful anger. Somebody say, put it out. Put the fire out. You douse it. You got to be a person of self-control. And that's what it speaks of in Proverbs 17, 14. Why don't you read it with me again on three? Come on, let the audience on the internet, let them hear your voice today on three. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I can talk out loud in church. Yes, this is your moment right now. One, two, three. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter. Can you imagine the pressure behind a dam? All that water that is just waiting right there. And it says that if you don't drop the matter, it's going to spill out over everything and break out over everything. So drop it so there's no dispute. Let it go so you don't become sinful like the Bible mentions today. Well, it's just the way I am. It's the way God made me. I've heard that. And I've used that excuse before. It's this learned behavior. And I can prove it to you today how it's just not you. Let's go ahead and play Nava Household maybe 2 weeks ago. And so Irma walks in. Man, do you own TJ Maxx? Because you sure do have a lot of groceries. You sure do have a lot of bags, man. You're going to bankrupt us, hon. And Rebecca, why don't you pick up that room of yours? And what, the dog? Oh, I'm going to kick him, you know. And it's done a little bit more escalated, and I get angry, and things get built up and built up. And all of a sudden, my cell phone rings in the middle of that escalation and that rage going on in my house. Oh, it's Bishop David Coffey. God bless you, Pastor. You might visit Living Faith soon. We'll have a seat ready for you, sir. You want me to speak at the next fall conference? I would love to. God bless you too. Thank you. And like I was saying, somebody needs to put that dog outside. You see how you can learn that and how it's not natural and how you make it unnatural and it's just me? No, you can turn it off. You can turn it on, can't you? Amen. You got to make a decision today about your anger in your life. You're going to bury it or you're going to get over it. You're not going to let sinful opportunity rise today. Amen. I want to challenge you with this today. Listen, this challenge that I'm going to give you today. You got to give people sometimes the benefit of the doubt about your anger and rage. If you walked in their shoes, you'd probably see what they've gone through. If you saw the difficulty that they've had or the insecurity. Some of us don't even know our own houses in the sense of our sons and daughters, our children, and don't know what's going on emotionally because we haven't checked in with them. We haven't talked to them. Listen to me. This will help you. And you don't know what they're going through, and that's why they're angry and your house is angry and you're expressing rage to them. Am I picking on anybody today? No, I'm preaching to Living Faith to build us up, to bless us, to help us so we become the church that we're supposed to be this hour today. You're not going to find it that way. You're going to find it in the way. Don't allow yourself to be a rage spreader. Be a peace giver. God's called you to do that. Is that okay with everybody? I'm talking to everyone today, including yours truly. No one's arrived at this church. All of our stuff stinks in this room. Amen. We're sinners saved by grace. I don't like when he says that. Well, this is my church. Okay, get over it. Go find yourself a church and like so you can speak. James chapter 1, verse 19. Somebody say everyone.
Everyone.
That means me. Does that mean you too? This is you, so you should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Man, I wish you would get that. Amen. And slow to become angry if you do the progression, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires today. That verse 20 is incredible because even if I stomp and give them the silent treatment and hold my breath until I get my way and not talk to them for 5 weeks, and that anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God's. I guarantee you it's not going to work. It's going to come back. Even if you don't rage and you become that silent treatment person, it doesn't work that way. May the atmosphere of our homes be one of peace today. May the atmosphere of our church be one of peace today because of the way that we channel our anger the right way today. In the seven books in the Bible, it speaks of this. There are seven books in the Bible that speak about God being slow to anger and great in his compassion. And if it says that he gets angry, but he's slow to anger. And so if you're God's daughter in this room and God's son in this room, and you want to look like your heavenly father, which we all should because we're Christians, right, everybody? Amen. You're going to be slow to anger. Yeah. No one's going to push your buttons in the wrong way. Are you glad you came to Living Faith?
Amen.
Yeah. Anger can flare up and take our energy. And it takes up so much emotional energy when you get angry. Are you like me? Because when you have an anger or a rage thing that happens, do you notice now, the older that you get, how much it takes out of you? Remember when you were a young person and you were maybe a teenager in your 20s and your hands didn't shake after you got angry? Is that just me? Or your blood pressure didn't rise because now you're 50, 80, 100, amen, in here? Do you understand what I'm saying today? You can get away with it if you're a young person for a little bit, a season, but the day is coming of reckoning that your body can't take it anymore. You only have so much emotion to give during a day, and if you spend it on anger, the majority, and you use up all that fuel, you're going to run out. And that's why you end up in the hospital with a needle in you. And don't call me to visit you, because I'll still pray for you. Man, that little toddler that got so fussy and got so angry, and he got so messed up in that poo-poo diaper, and he just got so angry, and finally he went to bed. He had had it. Anybody ever have a child like that? Just so fussy. Yeah, mijo, go to sleep. We're going to put you to sleep, mijo. And he gets to finally go to sleep, and he rested finally because it wore him out to throw that fit and rage that he didn't get that candy bar or get that toy at the store. Many of us have grown up that way as adults now, and we get that fit and rage, and it takes a toll on us, and you still keep on going and trucking, and it messes you up. Well, what's the choice then? You know, I'm not going to let them walk over me. I'm going to get angry if they tell me that. They know what they're doing. No, the daughter of God, God's son, God's child, would leave it in the hands of God. You want to look like God? You want to behave like God? You want God's? You say, you know what? Later for this, you're not going to control me anymore. I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to leave it in the hands of God. God, I turn it over to you. Redeem this situation. Vengeance is not mine, Lord. It's yours. And you watch how God will move on that timetable. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed today. Amen. I'm trusting God to make it right. There's this incredible story. In 1881, the 20th president was elected. And his name was James Garfield. And James Garfield was a brilliant man. He was just self-educated. He was the last of the presidents to be born in a log cabin. He quickly arose to genius power. And he didn't really want to be president, but they nominated him to be the president. He got elected 20th president. Well, like 2 months into his administration, this man that's kind of messed up in his head that wanted to become a government official shoots him in the back at the train station there in Washington, D.C. And Garfield's not fatally wounded, but immediately doctors that are there come to rush to the president, and they start sticking their hands, their fingers, probing his body, unsterilized, because back then they didn't believe in sterilization that much. And they're probing, trying to find the bullet, because they do believe that if they leave the bullet in there, that it's going to kill him. So they're trying to take the bullet out. So finger after finger in a train station where everybody walks, unsanitary. They're sticking their fingers into him to try to get the bullet out. Well, what ends up happening is he gets put in a hospital bed, and he deteriorates pretty quickly because more operations are done. More fingers are probing him. They're digging into him. And 2 months later, he dies. And tragically, the story goes like this, that the bullet was found near his pancreas, but if they would have just left it alone, he would have lived. He would have gotten stronger, and he wouldn't have died. And there's a spiritual analogy to that, and it's this. If you keep digging up something in your life, you keep getting angry over something, you keep rehearsing over something that happened 10 years ago, a week ago, a day ago, an hour ago, it's going to end up killing your spiritual life. And it will do a number on your physical life also because you open up your life to that. But you need to let stuff go and not start digging through it, poking at it in your spiritual walk and say, I wish I would have done this and that. Do you understand that, church, today? That we just need to let it go and leave it alone and move on with the things that God has for us because it certainly isn't that. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
Don't let a spiritual infection kill you today. Finally, the second thought is this, sanctified anger. You fan the flame. You get that ember. You just have an ember right now, but let's turn it into an inferno right now. Many times we sit in church and we say, amen, amen, amen. I don't want you to say amen right now. Don't say amen. Don't say amen right now. It's the wrong time to say amen. We say amen, amen, amen. And we leave the same way. Our marriage is still the same. Our community stays the same. The high school stays the same. Because something is not done. We say amen and we do all the right things, but nothing ever changes. And I don't want to be that sort of church. How about you? I certainly don't want to be that sort of Christian coming to a church gathered full of people that don't. We say amen, but nothing ever happens. And this is where we come back to our DNA and why we're living faith and why we're called living faith. There was a time in Jesus' earthly ministry when he walked into a church. Because that was his custom, and he went to church, and he should go to church as a Christian, perfect Christian Jesus was. And he walked in, and he saw something that made him angry. Nothing was being done. Everything was staying the same. Same old was happening. There was a man that had a shriveled hand that had been shriveled. And Jesus asked him on the Sabbath day, and the religious people were looking at him to see what he was going to do. To perform a miracle on the Sabbath was against the law. You just don't do that. So the church folk, the pastors of that day, were waiting to catch him. And trying to catch Jesus, always doing something good. And notice what they say to him right here. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. I believe that's the final scripture, right, everybody? And Jesus looked around at them in what?
Anger.
It was a righteous anger. Jesus never sinned. But he was angry, and there's a right way to be angry. Deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to the man, I'm going to do this right in front of you because it can't wait until tomorrow. It can't wait until this man leaves this room. It can't wait until I see him somewhere else. He can't wait till he gets to the doctor. It needs to be done right now. And he says, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and his hand was completely made whole, and it was complete because it couldn't wait. It was a passion in Jesus' heart to do it, and it had to be done now. And in all of our hearts, there's this ember, I believe, this little smoke that's rising, that God wants to turn that into an inferno. That's why when Linda Garza began the Linda Ziegler began the clothing ministry, she said it can't wait. We need a clothing ministry for our church now. It can't wait. So we'll begin just in a little 2x4, little shed that we store everything in, and then we'll transform building one into a bigger place so people can come in and get free clothing for our community. That's why when we look at the abuse rate for children in this zip code, we're ranked number 2 on neglect and how children are abused. Hey, at least we're number 2. We're not number 1. That's by the zip code by the Alamo, by the way. But we're 2. And I think that's too much, even for our church on our watch at 78227, that we shouldn't even have that stigma in our zip code.
Amen.
Do you know what they say about John Jay behind our backs? Because we love John Jay. Do you know what they said about John Jay for years? You know what they've said about him? That school? That school? And that's on our watch. We're right next door to John Jay. And that should not happen because we're the church that brings redemption. God had us build many years ago, not leave, but to occupy this space and then build a bigger building so high school students could be touched. And there ought to be something within us that doesn't want crime happening at that school, unplanned pregnancies happening at that school. There ought to be a redemption point that God brings in and makes that the finest high school, not only because we're saying it, because we can prove it, and the community rallies around it, a faith in this room, and we move a mountain for it. Do you understand that today? And we keep reaching for it today. John Jay is about to be visited by Jesus because living faith is going to leave the four walls, and we're not going to occupy just the four walls. We're going to do something about it today. We're proud of the students at John Jay. We love the students at John Jay. Jesus loves John Jay. Have you ever noticed that Jesus goes to the greatest people in need? Have you ever noticed that God leaves everything to go to the person that needs him the most? Have you ever noticed that God will leave 99 to go find the one? Because God cares that way, and we ought to care that way too. It must be done. There's this cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid, and it's going to make me smile. And I need to smile right now. And it's called Popeye. Popeye the Sailor Man. Man, what a good cartoon. I would watch that on the Captain Gus show. And Captain Gus was like kind of like Popeye for us kids in San Antonio. You guys don't know anything about it. You know, thank God I grew up in San Antonio. And his enemy was Brutus, right? And then he had this girlfriend named Olive Oil. I never understood that thing. You know, here's this guy with these big guns after he, you know, ate the spinach. But why would you end up with Olive Oil, dude? Hey, Papa, you know. Well, the storyline would always go, Popeye would get pushed around. Brutus would always come at him by doing something, by pounding him, beating him up, make him look like a fool for most of the whole cartoon, the five-minute cartoon or seven-minute cartoon. But finally, Popeye would come to that point where he would say something like this, I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Remember that? Yeah. I speak Irish sometimes, right? And all of a sudden, this spinach would pop out. Man, you guys that are under 30, too bad. You didn't get to see this. This thing, you can watch it on Google. And the spinach would pop out, and the spinach would walk in, and boom, 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 these arms would come up. And he would go take on, and he would pound Brutus away and run him away from the community and run him away. We need to have a Popeye moment. Amen. What angers you? Fan that flame. What is it that you're going to say, I can't, that can't happen anymore on my watch? Not only for our church, but how about in your marriage? I'm not going to live this way, fighting with my husband, fighting with my wife. We're not supposed to fight each other. We're supposed to fight the enemy that hates marriage. I contend that we marriages fail for the simple point of selfishness. We have to have our way. We don't give in. We give in to the enemy that wants to destroy marriage. The thing of the beauty of the cross, of the beauty of heaven, how it would come to earth and everybody would see your marriage is heaven on earth today. And you fight for your marriage. You don't fight each other today. Maybe it's debt. You're tired of living in debt, paycheck after paycheck. And you're finally going to get that job that pays the bills. You're going to work hard at it. You're going to become successful because you're not going to have debt. You're going to pay off and be debt free because that's biblical. Right. You're going to be a giver, not a taker. Right, everybody? Right. And what Christina asked a moment ago, our children's ministry, toddler ministry, youth ministry, you got to be called to it. But you should go in there and serve. Well, I don't do kids. Well, you can do other things. You can be a safety monitor. Never deal with kids, but you can watch our building for security. You can not leave it up to the ushers to do everything. You can be in a place because you worship one, and you should serve one every Sunday. Because it's the mission of our church. God is sending us beautiful children, beautiful people with families. I don't do kids. No, you can do kids. You just don't need to maybe teach them, but you can love on them in a different way by making sure everything's right. Maybe you're the mom or the dad that's bringing the goods and the cookies and the bakery goods, and you're leaving some for pastor. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Go the distance. Amen. What is it that you got to do today? I'm so glad I get to end with good news. Why don't we end today, Raj, because you waited a long time for me to end. Amen today. Do you know we don't get what we really deserve? Do y'all know that, church? Because if we really got what we deserve the wrath of God.
Right.
God should be ticked over our lives. Do you know that today?
Yes.
He should be consuming fire. Mario, boom, you're wiped away. Nothing left of Mario but a little mark of whatever, burn mark. But God, the good news is I don't get what I deserve, and neither do you. I should get pain. I should get a cross. I should get death on that cross, but I don't get any of that. The Son of God got that. His only Son. God said this. He said, I have to do something about it. I want that person. I want him. I want you. I want me. I want that person in my life today. I want them at my table, and I have to do something about it. So I'm going to send my Son Jesus to the cross to live on earth, and redemption will happen that way so they can get to my table. Right, everybody? And he had to do something about it. And so we don't get what we deserve. We get grace. We get mercy. Isn't that incredible? And with that same heart, well, they don't deserve it at John Jay. They don't deserve it in our community, the children. No, they get grace and mercy because you have Christ in your heart. And you live on mission. You live on purpose. And we walk out of here as redemption. All this is on Sunday morning is the pep talk before we go back on onto the field and play the second half today. This isn't church. Church is out there. Thank God we got full of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we got our tank full today. But we go out and give it away. And when we run low, we give it away again. We come back into the house of God as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. That's what living faith is about today, church. Amen. And so with heads bowed, we pray unto our God today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch the people of the Lord today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, do the work of God that only He can do in between the lines and what was said right now. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the cross of Jesus that I deserve to be on that cross. But Lord, it was not for me. Your Son made a way for me, debt-free, God, that cost Him everything, but it was given to me free, the gift of God. Today you're in this room, and you're tired of hurting people because of anger. You're tired of hurting the people around you that loved you the most. You express it too much. You have a hard time controlling it today. If that's you, you're honest. You're only as strong as you're honest today. You're only as strong as you're being honest in the house of God. Maybe you're bitter right now. You've suppressed those emotions. And anger is going to hurt you if it hasn't hurt you already. You don't want to be hurt anymore today. Let's look to God right now to suppress that fire, to douse it. Or let's look to God right now in a moment to give us a holy mission. But right now, if you're hurting people because of the rage that's within you, lay your hand on your heart like I am. I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for other people today. Father, change me. Change the people of the Lord today. I need a touch from you today. Oh, God, how I need your grace right now in this moment. Come close to my heart, Lord, today. I pray that every person that is touching their heart, Lord, they represent a family. Would you heal that family? Because words that shouldn't have been said, things that shouldn't have been done were done, Lord, in anger. Now forgive us, Lord. And I thank you in advance, Lord, that we're people of self-control because we have that gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're using that anger now, God, for a righteous cause. Thank you, Father. Give the people the gift of God, the assignment, people of mission today. Thank you, Lord. Fill them with that today. As I continue to pray and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now, the book of Romans says this, that the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die when we sin. And God is a just God. That means that justice has to happen. And justice will happen today. And justice wasn't paid by you. Justice happened on the head and the body of Jesus 2,000 years ago on the cross. And that's very, very good news to you today. If you're far away from God, sin in your life has to be made. It has to be paid. Are you going to pay it? And I pray that you don't, because it's hell to pay that. You don't want to pay that. Today, there's a way of escape. There's a free gift from God. And today, Jesus will pay your sins today. But you confess Him as your Savior. You ask for forgiveness of your sins. You're far away from God. If there's shame in your life today, you've never said yes to Christ, I'm not going to embarrass you today. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand slightly right now. And you'll do that in the audience of God. Again, not to be embarrassed. I'll note your hand and I'll pray a prayer right now. God bless you, sir. Someone else just lifting your hand. No one looking around. You're praying. Someone else just making sure on this side I saw. Yeah, making sure. God bless you, Miha. You can put your hand down. Someone else, honest before God. Yes, honest before God. You can put your hand down. You're only as strong as you're honest right now. Yeah, let truth prevail. I'm lost today. I need a Savior. Those on the internet today, you can pray that prayer right now. For the three people that lifted their hand right now in the presence of God, we're all sinners saved by grace. You pray it loud enough that you can confess it right now. You can hear it in your own ear. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Let's call upon the name of Jesus right now. Everyone, including the internet right now. Let's call upon His name. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You're my Father now. I was lost. I was a wanderer. I was a foreigner. But You brought me into Your home. You brought me into a table. I have my own chair. I have my own room. I thank You, Lord, for the forgiveness of Jesus. The cross of Christ paid for my sins. Thank You for the forgiveness, Lord, that I find at the cross. Thank You, Jesus. I made You. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Fill the people with Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for grace, forgiveness, and mercy now that meets me. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Hey, for three people that lifted their hands and they meant it, bless them. Encourage them. They're beloved, for the three, really, listen to me, and everybody can do this, but there are connection cards that are in front of you. I pray that you would take time to fill those out. Make sure that you complete those. Give those back to one of our leaders, one of our elders. They'll make sure I get those. I want to pray for you this week. Also, if you have a prayer need in your life and you need prayer of agreement, would you fill those out and complete those? God bless you. Amen. I pray that you wouldn't leave yet until our final song, amen, rises right now. Let's stand together. Amen. We're going to be dismissed in a song. It'd be my pleasure if you're here for the very first time, second time, I'll meet you in the cafe. And it'll be a blessing to shake your hand. Amen. Let's stand together and sing the songs of faith today, the songs of the redeemed today, the songs of the beloved.
We lift our holy hands, oh, we want to touch You. We lift our voices higher and higher and higher to You. We lift our holy hands up. Oh, touch You.
wonderful week. We are actually going to play those first two songs again. So you are dismissed, but if you'd like to come and dance and play with us, we'd love to have you. Amen.